WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy and 40 degrees in Atlantic. We look for a good chance of rain, mainly later this afternoon. A high today around 48. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. Brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Well, National Weather Service last hour issued a wind advisory that is in effect for far west and southwest Iowa from later today through late this evening. In Harrison County, the wind advisory is in effect from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. In Shelby, Pottawatomie, Mills, Montgomery, Fremont, and Page counties, the wind advisory goes into effect at 3 o'clock today and lasts until 10 o'clock this evening. Weather Service says northerly winds of 20 to 35 miles per hour with gusts to 45 are expected in the advisory area. The winds are expected to increase by midday today and peaking during the late afternoon time frame and then decreasing by mid to late evening. So therefore, if you have any outdoor objects, they should be secured so they're not blown around. And keep in mind that driving may be difficult this afternoon as well due to strong winds and sudden gusts, especially on the east to west corridors. In the news, the Ottoman City Council Monday evening tabled action on the discussion and consideration of applications for their city clerk or interim city clerk's position because they weren't ready to do so, according to Mayor Sam Kaufman. In addition, the council directed the mayor to correct an error on the published notice calling for applications and to resubmit the ad because it left out important legal terminology, according to former city councilperson Linda Weston, who researched the process through the Iowa League of Cities.
When I read the ad, you did not put the ad in right when you were asking for applications. It has to have, when you have any entity that receives tax money, has to be, have the equal opportunity thing on the bottom of your application. If you do not, it's not legal, and they said that you would have to do that over again because of that.
The EEO statement typically says that a company or governmental body provides equal employment opportunities to all employees and applicants for employment without regard to race, color, religion, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, national origin, age, and so on. Mayor Kaufman admitted that he made an error when drafting the advertisement for publication and then made a comment that drew some laughs of disbelief from the audience and caused eyes to roll.
May I suggest that Laura has the most expertise in this field when I have Laura.
You're right. The comment was ironic, you see, because it would have meant that Hansen would have been writing an ad seeking her own replacement for a position she did not want to leave. She currently serves as the holdover clerk after a series of missteps taken by the council that drew the threat of legal action and several requests for emails under the open records and open meetings law. Hansen has served as the city clerk in Audubon for more than 30 years. News time is 8:03.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
A decision Monday by the U.S. Supreme Court to turn abandoned rail lines, which have been granted easements from the U.S. over to property owners on either side of the right-of-way, will not affect two popular southwest Iowa trails that run on former railroad right-of-ways. The Daily Nonpareil reports that neither the Wabash Trace Nature Trail, which runs from Council Bluffs to the Missouri state line, nor the Old Stone Arch Nature Trail near Shelby will be forced to turn over ownership of the paths to adjacent landowners. According to Marianne Fowler, Senior Vice President of Federal Relations for the Rails to Trails Conservancy, Southwest Iowa's pair of trails were exempted from the ruling for different reasons. The 63-mile Wabash Trace, which runs through four counties, is safe, she says, because it's part of the rail bank system. Becca Castle, president of Southwest Iowa Nature Trails, told the paper that since the former Wabash Railroad purchased the land from the government, it wouldn't have been affected by the ruling. Out-of-service railroad lines are sold, leased, or granted to agencies that oversee a trail. Ownership never changes hands, however, because the rail company reserves the right to one day reopen the railroad line on the land if need be. More than 4,400 miles of railroad corridors in 33 states are operated as part of the system, according to the Rails to Trails Conservancy. And if abandoned, ownership of that land would ordinarily have reverted to neighboring landowners. Elisa Hine, program and planning director for the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, which oversees the Wabash Trace and much of the state's converted rail trails, said most Iowa rail trails are rail banked and those weren't affected by the ruling because the railroad company could still operate a line on the land. Renee Hansen of the Shelby County Auditor's Office told the Nonpareil that the Old Stone Arch Trail, a small portion of the former Chicago, Rock Island, and Pacific Railroad right-of-way in Pottawatomie and Shelby counties, was previously granted easements in 1867 and 1968. Therefore, the four-mile stretch of trail now owned by the city was also not affected by the decision. As a whole, Iowa, which has nearly 1,000 miles of trails on converted railroad property, looks to see little or no effects by the 8-1 Supreme Court decision. Justice Sonia Sotomayor was the lone dissenter in that decision. In other news, a Taylor County man died over the weekend during a snowmobiling accident in northern Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says 51-year-old Mike Garner of Lennox was killed when the snowmobile he was operating on a trail near Nockamajan, Wisconsin, went out of control prior to entering a curve and hit a tree. The crash occurred at around 5:10 p.m. on Sunday. Garner died at the scene. Authorities in Clarinda say no serious injuries were reported following a minor accident involving a school bus and a car Monday morning. According to the Clarinda Police Department, a Clarinda Community School District bus was leaving a child pickup site at 1040 West State Street and beginning to travel east when the 2001 Bluebird bus was hit from behind by a 2012 Ford Fusion. The accident happened around 7:50 a.m. The driver of the car, 28-year-old Ashley Michelle Cabbage of Stanton, told investigators she was distracted by her phone and took her eyes off the road. When she looked up, she hit the brakes, but her vehicle slammed into the rear of the bus. A bus that is, after the impact, a Ford veered left off the road and crossed the westbound lane before coming to rest on the westbound shoulder. The bus, driven by 60-year-old Connie Miller of Clarinda, came to a stop on the eastbound shoulder of the road. Both drivers and five students on the bus, all of whom were from Clarinda and ranged in age from 9 to 13, were transported by Clarinda EMS to the Clarinda Regional Medical Center to be checked for possible injuries. Cabbage was determined to have suffered non-incapacitating injuries during the collision. A check of the bus's flashing lights was made by the investigating officer, and all were determined to have been fully functional. Cabbage was subsequently cited for following too close. Damage from the accident amounted to $14,000. A man who led authorities on a nearly 30-minute high-speed chase Sunday night from Atlantic to Audubon faces a trio of charges. Cass County Sheriff Darby McLaren said yesterday that 39-year-old Richard Randall Eatwell was being held on one felony and two serious misdemeanor charges.
He was charged with operating while intoxicated, narcotics. He was charged with reckless driving. He was charged with eluding, Class D felony. I don't know if reckless is a serious misdemeanor. The OWI would be a serious misdemeanor. I believe those are the only charges pending at this time.
While he was released on his own recognizance on those particular charges, Eatwell was being held without bond in the Cass County Jail on a Department of Corrections warrant for a parole violation. Now, this latest incident is part of a recent string of chases that have occurred around southwest and western Iowa and which have involved multiple law enforcement agencies. Sheriff McLaren expressed his frustration with the frequency of the chases and the way they're handled by the courts.
We're fed up with it. You know, I don't want to wait for something bad to happen for, you know, somebody to really get educated by the court system. The sooner we can show that, you know, if you're in a chase of this magnitude, you're going to do significant jail time. It's the only thing that I know that we can do to protect the public.
On the bright side, McLaren had nothing but good words to say about the citizens of Audubon who helped authorities capture the suspect.
The 911 calls that we got from the residents of Audubon, you know, were certainly led to us finding the suspect. I'm not sure if we would have if they wouldn't have done that. So certainly we want to put out a thanks to them.
The video of the last few minutes of the chase showed the suspect's vehicle zooming past and turning into a commercial area before he abandoned the car and took off on foot. Moments later, numerous law enforcement vehicles came rushing by. The person who shot the video flagged down a sheriff's SUV and pointed out where the car was. Others called 911, and information about the suspect's location was broadcast over the law enforcement frequencies. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reported a Pacific Junction woman was injured during a single vehicle accident that occurred last Thursday morning on Eastman Road. Officials say Cassandra Wendt was traveling northbound when she failed to negotiate a curve in the road. Her vehicle went off the road to the right and hit a tree before coming to rest in a ditch. Wendt was transported by Pacific Junction Rescue to Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Interpol has released photos of two Iranians who were traveling with stolen passports on a missing Malaysia Airlines jetliner. The pictures show the two men boarding the plane at the same time. Interpol says they traveled to Malaysia on their Iranian passports and then apparently switched to the stolen Australian and Italian documents. The men are identified as a 19-year-old and a 29-year-old. The 19-year-old is believed to have been planning to seek asylum in Germany. Interpol said the information about the men makes terrorism a less likely because of the cause of the plane's disappearance. And the parliament in Ukraine's Crimea region has voted to declare itself an independent state if its residents agree in a referendum this Sunday to split off from Ukraine and join Russia. Meanwhile, Ukraine's acting president is calling for the formation of a National Guard and for the mobilization of reserves and volunteers into the country's armed forces. News time is 8:11.
I told you this house was too good to be true. We haven't even been here a month, and the furnace won't start, the toilet keeps backing up, and the bathtub has a constant drip.
I told you I will fix everything this weekend.
No, that's what you said last weekend before the toilet broke. And remember the last time you tried to fix the furnace? Yeah, the fire department had to come, and we were the laughingstock of the whole town. Seriously, if you don't call Bob today, I'm going to stay with my parents.
Hi, this is Bob at Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, your local train dealer in Fontenelle. Let me help you keep the fire burning in your marriage and not in your basement by completing all those honey-do lists for you. No job is too big or small when it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing. Just call me at 1-877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Marie Georgina Jeweler Ross, age 92, of Kansas City, Missouri, and formerly the Marney, Cumberland, and Council Bluffs areas, died Friday. Funeral services for Marie Ross will be today at 10 o'clock at the Cutler, O'Neill, Meyer, and Woodring, Bayless Park Chapel in Council Bluffs. Clyde Fromm, age 89, of Elkhorn, died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Clyde Fromm will be this afternoon at 1:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Clarence Klein, age 98, of Elkhorn, died Sunday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Clarence Klein will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Nadine Peppers, age 71, of Prescott, Arizona, died March the 5th at Hospice Family Care in Prescott. Funeral services for Nadine Peppers will be Wednesday at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Abel Jonathan Kinsey of Atlantic, the infant son of Nathan Kinsey and Jody Brookshire of Atlantic, died Friday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Abel Kinsey will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Betty Vogesser, age 87, of Avoca, died Sunday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Betty Vogesser will be held Thursday at 10 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic, with the Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. Inez Peckham, age 84, of Bayard, died Sunday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Inez Peckham will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Bayard. Odie Funeral Home of Bayard has arrangements. Betty Jean Kent, age 80, formerly of the Guthrie Center area, died Thursday in California. Memorial services for Betty Kent will be on Friday at 3 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. Donald Lowe, age 86, of Oakland, has died. Graveside services for Donald Lowe will be on Friday at 9 o'clock at the Oaklawn Cemetery in Oakland. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. And Vernie Eggers, age 89, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Cremation has taken place and graveside memorial services for Vernie Eggers will be held at a later date. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.